Hey, this is Nick Pinot, and today we'll be mapping EMFs on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-minute matrix, I'll be talking with Nick Pinot. Nick is an investigative health journalist, educator, and advocate for safe technologies. In 2017, he authored The Non-Tinfoil Guide to EMFs, an unconventional book endorsed by top health authorities, which tackles the very serious topic of electromagnetic pollution with humor and common sense. He's since launched the Electrosmog RX online course with the goal of educating 100,000 health practitioners on how to prevent, diagnose, and treat EMF-related illnesses. Hi, Nick. I'm thrilled to have you here on the 15-Minute Matrix.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this topic, the topic of EMFs, is one I feel really passionate about. I've been eager to have you on the podcast to talk about this subject. Can you first and foremost position what the EMFs are, and then we'll get into how they interact and impact the body, but what are they?
EMF stands for electromagnetic fields, and of course in nature you have an entire spectrum of electromagnetic fields, so that's nothing new really. We're exposed to solar radiation, we're exposed to magnetic fields from the planet, we're exposed to the sun, which in itself contains a lot of different things like infrared radiation, like color. Visible color is also a type of EMF, so it's nothing new. What I'm referring to in my work and what I'm concerned about when it comes to health is, what is the impact of these man-made frequencies that have basically never been seen in nature? So I'm talking about, for example, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, cell phone signals, and even household electricity. So this is fairly new that we're exposed to these new frequencies. And when we use the term EMF, or some people like to call it electrosmog, a type of pollution that's different from what our ancestors used to experience.
So interesting, we're definitely seated in the area of environmental inputs and how these man-made EMFs are impacting the body. They become a trigger for other situations. Walk us through what you found in your research are the major impacts of the EMFs.
The lack of mechanism has been pointed out by a lot of people in mainstream medicine and even physicists and engineers as basically the proof of safety. Unfortunately, now the mechanisms of harm, damage to the human organism are being elucidated. And one researcher that is especially important is Dr. Martin Paul from the Washington State University. And he has found that these EMFs activate something on the cell called the voltage-gated calcium channels, the VGCCs for short. And in particular, the L-type VGCC is what he found. And why he found that is basically that, of course, these are studies in rats, but there are 26 distinct studies in which you give calcium channel blockers to these rats, and then the effect from Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or cell phones are partially negated or completely negated. So it does show that the main mechanism of harm is the activation of this VGCC. And what happens downstream is that when a VGCC becomes open for too long artificially because of the electrical stimuli on the sensor that's on the VGCC, which is the voltage sensor, even at very low level electricity, this voltage gated calcium channel will stay open. And then the problem is that usually you have a strong calcium gradient, so you have a lot of calcium outside the cell in the extracellular matrix and very little calcium in comparison inside the cell. And now this harmony is completely disrupted, and calcium flows in for up to several hours after even exposure of a few seconds of Wi-Fi, according to some studies that have been done in rats and on cell cultures. So we know that this is happening. happening. And then the consequences of extra calcium is the activation of two enzymes that that will raise up the nitric oxide. These are calcium-dependent enzymes that will raise up the nitric oxide levels on a cellular level, and also the superoxide. And the mix of nitric oxide and superoxide is peroxynitrite. And this is where the damage happens. So it is several let's say layers down that now we're seeing oxidative damage from peroxynitrite. And peroxynitrite is shortened ONOO-, and it's part of what Dr. Martin Paul refers to as the no-ONO cycle. So it is an inflammatory cycle in which peroxynitrite plays a huge role and is disrupting the mitochondria. It is really causing problem in ATP production, and it can explain all the downstream effects that we are seeing on a clinical setting when it comes to symptoms that people report when exposed to these EMFs.
So it's almost at a structural level, like you're talking about leaky cells, like it's inducing leaky cells, and it's then disturbing that balance that you were talking about. I'm imagining that we're seeing things that are related not just to inflammation and oxidative stress, but also things that are related to calcification issues like heart disease. Is that the case?
Yes. For example, the NTP study, which is the arguably one of the most important studies ever done on EMFs, just dates back from a few months back, actually, that the peer-reviewed report came out, and they found two main things. They found a clear evidence of that EMFs are a carcinogen, exposure to rats, and these were mainly brain tumors in rats, but also heart tumors. And part of the reason is possibly because of this effect on calcium, but also because there's a high concentration of these L types VGCCs in the heart, in the brain, and also throughout the nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Are there any studies or any research that you've seen that links certain antecedents to people who are more susceptible to the impact of the EMF exposure?
So part of the no-ONO cycle shows that whenever someone is already inflamed, for example, and has certain markers of inflammation that are really elevated, you are more prone to actually getting even more damage from the EMFs. There's a synergistic effect. Also, people who have multiple chemical sensitivity and let's say whose stress bucket is already full, they already have this overstimulation of all their detoxification pathways, or again, it comes down to inflammation, or even people with mitochondrial dysfunction, there's a synergy between all these different things that are pathological and that really create this whole maelstrom of effects.
When it comes to what we do about it, what we do to reverse the damage, as well as what we do to prevent the damage, let's start with prevention and then potentially go into reversal. When we're thinking of prevention, what can we do? I know there are a lot of things out there, blankets, all sorts of stones. What do you believe in? What have you seen work? And what does the research say?
Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of research. If you're looking for research papers, there's barely any, because again, in the mainstream medicine, the thought is that this stuff is perfectly safe. So we're in a very controversial moment in history where very little research is done and very little funding will be present. Unfortunately, I don't foresee a future where there's going to be a lot of funding to study these things, because at the moment, this society is focused on the opposite, which is rolling more signals. So just to give you a background on my answer, and then as an investigative health journalist, I looked at, okay, well, if we don't have the scientific studies that are peer-reviewed, do we have clinicians who do things that work? And one such clinician is Dr. Dietrich Klinghart, MD, PhD, from the Sophia Health Institute, who's very well-respected. And what he does is try to help his patients and clients reduce their exposure to different devices to the minimum. So one such thing is the cell phone. phone. Use cell phone only for texting, and never use a cell phone next to the head. You want to create distance between any source of EMFs and your body, because the signal strength and potential damage will drop off exponentially as you create distance. So, for example, a cell phone at 2 feet from the head drops off the signal 90%. So you can use earbuds, preferably something called the AirTube headset, which doesn't have any electricity going to the head, in order to talk on the phone. But when it comes to Dr. Klinghart, he's really keen on little, let's say, minimum or minimal cell phone use. When it comes to Wi-Fi, Dr. Klinghart, when he sees people who are chronically ill, he says no Wi-Fi at all. Right. You got to have your computer wired in with an Ethernet cable and turn off the Wi-Fi function in of the router. If that's not possible, something I recommend in the course that were created for health practitioners is at least recommend your patients or clients to turn off the Wi-Fi when not in use, and especially at night. Something that can be done is in an automatic fashion, so they can set it and forget it, to simply plug the router on a Christmas light timer and set it at a certain time for it to automatically shut off at night and then turn back on in the morning.
I love that. And, you know, Dr. Klinghart is working with people who are very sick and therefore very motivated. How do you talk to clinicians who are maybe working with people who aren't as extremely motivated as those who are chronically ill or dealing with Lyme disease, but are seeing these things percolate, these signs and symptoms starting to percolate, or also are addicted to their rituals of Wi-Fi use?
The one thing that I recommend is what I call the three-night test. So if you have someone who's a real skeptic and doesn't really believe in maybe the benefits of turning off the Wi-Fi and the cell phone, you just have them do a simple protocol for 3 nights and let them know it's an experiment, it's not for their entire life, and we want to verify if they sleep better without the cell phone in the bedroom. So turn off the cell phone or put it in airplane mode, turn off the Wi-Fi router for just this night, and then turn off the circuit breaker to the bedroom, which also reduces exposure to household electricity. And this combination usually plus, well, of course, if it's not a cell phone, also the iPads and the computer. So any wireless device needs to be removed for this test to really work. And most people, even those who don't report themselves as sensitive, instantly feel a difference for three consecutive nights in their sleep patterns. And then they develop an appreciation for the fact that, oh, maybe it's doing something else to my body, because, of course, it's affecting my sleep.
Right. And we know that sleep is impacting so many of the full body systems. When it comes to the reversal, in addition to the removal, the shutdown, is there anything else we could be doing to help the body to get over the impact that you're aware of?
Definitely. As you said, some people need extreme measures, and we're talking about even shielding rooms if they live in a city and they become in this hypersensitive state, or if they have chronic diseases. For example, Professor Trevor Marshall from Autoimmunity Foundation has found that normally people need to who have autoimmune conditions, he recommends sleeping in a Faraday cage. So this is where you see this kind of bed canopy being put over a bed. So I just want to mention that in certain cases, you really need to go to the extreme in order to recover. And these people can get less sensitive over time. That being said, a few things are recommended by Dr. Klinghart, like rosemary extract. There's also chlorella tincture and all its products from the BioPure line, but especially rosemary and bee propolis in order to reverse the oxidative damage from all of these EMFs. And on top of that, there's something that can be added, which is magnesium, a natural calcium channel blocker. One in particular that he recommends is magnesium threonate. He sees good results with it. And I've heard great things also from magnesium malate. But the forms don't matter as much as making sure that you fix nutritional deficiencies. There's definitely an activation of this no-ono cycle, and probably the effects of EMFs, man-made EMFs are being made worse in someone who is deficient in different minerals.
So what would you say to a clinician who wants to start bringing the understanding of EMFs into their practice? Are there three easy steps for kind of starting to educate our clients and patients about the impacts of EMFs who may be skeptical themselves?
The number one step is to at least add EMFs to your questionnaires. You can start by something very simple like, do you have a cell phone? And the answer is pretty obvious for most people.
Right.
And how do you use it? Where do you use it is the question. As a clinician, you're trying to figure out what's the root cause. Well, in some cases, a cell phone can be the root cause. I've seen it or heard it from several clinicians. Patient comes in, has heart palpitations, and keeps his cell phone in his shirt pocket right next to the heart. And you remove the cell phone, sometimes you remove the symptoms, and it can get as simple as that. So you want to make sure to not miss those things, and just make sure that the use of one wireless device is not directly related to a symptom that just doesn't make sense on paper. So that's one thing. The second thing, it would be to try to incentivize people to turn their phones on airplane mode also in your clinic and start doing these steps in your clinic and in your own life, because as a clinician, you also want to make sure that everything I'm saying is correct. So do the three nights test and experience it for yourself. And that's something that people who went through our course did, and most of them told me, well, Nick, at first I'm doing this for me, for myself and my family, because once everyone gets on board, then I feel comfortable applying this to patients. And the third thing would be to dive a little bit deeper in the research, because yes, the mainstream consensus at the moment is mainly that these things are perfectly safe. However, I can tell you that the mainstream consensus in functional medicine is not as clear. So I talked to several functional medicine practitioners of the highest level, Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, but also Dr. Zach Bush, Dr. Pompa, Jay Davidson, so many different doctors that who see chronic disease patient. And Dr. Pompa, for example, told me 50% of all my clients are electrosensitive. Hmm. So it's 50%. He told me that in person a few months back when I went to his event in Vegas. I was a speaker there. So start looking for these signs, and you'll find them. If you don't think you've seen cases of people being affected by EMFs, it's probably because you're not aware that it's a factor. And once functional medicine practitioners start looking for it, they're going to realize that it plays a role.
Absolutely. So brilliant. Thank you for the work you do. It is really important. We have to be paying attention to the impact of the EMFs and understand what they are and what they're doing to the body systems. Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes music produced by my son, Gilbert Nakayama, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode ready, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. We'll be sure to drop into your inbox with a short reminder that a new episode is ready and waiting for you. You also have an open invitation to email us. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can email us at ask@15minutematrix.com.